lebendig Wasser deines Geistes.
Amen. Through your spirit.
Wir wenden unser Herz noch einmal gemeinsam zu dir.
Once again we turn our hearts to you.
Wir erwarten dein Sprechen zu uns.
We await your speaking to us.
Denk uns an den Geist der Weisheit und Offenbarung.
Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Alles zu sehen, was in Hezekiel
to see
uns zeigen möchte.
Everything what the book of Ezekiel wants to show us. Lord, we don't want to miss anything. But we want to know what your will is for us in these days. We give you the entire time of the conference, and we do pray that you keep us all from any kind of distraction, from all kinds of disturbances. We do pray that, Lord, fill us with your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lob den Herrn.
Praise the Lord.
Ist es nicht ein bisschen zu laut? Nein?
Is it a little too loud?
Ja. Es geht. Ein bisschen zu laut, gell? Ja. Könnt ihr das ein bisschen noch leise machen? Ja. Gut, das ist besser so. Amen. Es ist wieder Konferenzzeit. Diesmal wollen wir besonders über den Aufbau im Buch von Hezekiel gemeinsam betrachten. Ich nehme an, dass viele Heiligen über dieses Buch nicht so vertraut sind.
I gather that many of the saints are not too familiar with this book. Besides, it's quite difficult to read and to understand.
In diesen letzten Tagen und Wochen,
because in these last days and weeks, during the preparation, we have tried to make the verses a little clearer, but whether it's really clear, it's another question. But I do believe that the Lord will show us something, and it is very, very important. It is really very, very important to see the building of the church together. The vision of the building of the church. Last year we began to see what the glory of the Lord is. Actually, the glory of the Lord is the most important thing in the Bible. Because God is a wonderful God, and He's also a glorious God. He wants to be expressed because He is so wonderful and so glorious, so rich, so mighty, and so wise. We see in every aspect that God is a wonderful and a great God. And for that reason, He's also a glorious God. And because He is a glorious God, and what He built, especially the church that He built, has to be a glorious church. I hope that all the saints in Europe would have this impression deep in their hearts. Not just Christ and the church. What is our vision now? Christ and the glorious church. Today, it's not enough for me just to build the church, but I would like to see the Lord gain a glorious church. This is important for the Lord. The Lord doesn't just want to have a church or any old church. But the Lord wants to have a glorious church. We all know this from Ephesians 5. He wants to present to Himself a glorious church. A glorious church without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that He would be glorious and without blemish. This is His goal. This is our goal. We don't want to just build a church, but we want to build a glorious church. And yet we cannot do it ourselves. But the Lord has to make it with us. We have to pray, Lord, build with us your glorious church.
O
Herr Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Ja, das muss unser tägliches Gebet sein.
That should be our day, our prayer daily.
Leider sehen wir in Ezekiel,
unfortunately, we see in Ezekiel that the people of God was a rebellious people, stiff-necked,
ungehorsam,
disobedient, and they had their own minds.
Und nach so vielen Jahren,
and after so many years,
dem,
they had seen so much of what God had done.
So ein Mist gebaut,
yet
so
in the end, they made such a mess of it. They went into idolatry.
Gott gerade zu ihnen gesagt hat, dass sie nicht machen sollen.
What God told them not to do, they did all those
und
things.
Es war so schlimm.
It was so bad
richten.
That in the end, God had
so
to judge his people.
So the book of Ezekiel
is also a book of judgment.
Weil Gott ein herrlicher Gott
because God is a glorious God
auch ein herrliches Volk
and he also wants to have a glorious people. Really so.
Gott möchte
God
ein herrliches Volk
would like to have a glorious people
ein herrliches Haus.
And he also builds a glorious house. That's what he would like to have.
Aber leider, das war
but unfortunately,
mit seinem Volk nicht zu schaffen.
That couldn't be done
und
with his
Ende
people.
Musste Gott sein Volk
and in the end,
und das Gericht, was
God had to judge his people,
Gericht,
and the judgment was terrible. That judgment was terrible.
Zum Beispiel, das,
we see that, for instance, when the Lord came to this earth for the first time, what was the condition of his people?
Was, gut?
Was it good?
Was schlecht?
Was it bad?
Schlecht, nur
was
schlecht.
Was it just bad?
Es war schlimmer als schlecht.
It was worse than just bad.
Es war voller Finsternis.
It was full of darkness.
Eigentlich, es musste ein herrliches Volk sein.
Actually, they should have been a glorious people. They have the law of God. They have the word.
Sie sollten eigentlich diesen lebendigen Gott kennen.
They should have known this glory, this living God. But when the Lord came to this earth the first time, the condition of the people was terrible.
Und wir dürfen nicht denken, dass es bei uns besser.
And we should not think that it's any better with us. Really so.
Wenn ich heute die ganze Situation schaue,
when I would look at the entire situation today,
dann muss ich sagen, Herr,
I have to say, Lord, are you really going to make it? Are you really going to make it to build a glorious church and also to gain a glorious people?
Manchmal, wenn ich an mich selbst schaue,
sometimes when I look at myself,
dann muss ich fragen, Herr,
then I have to ask, Lord, are you going to make it with me?
Wie ist es mit der Gemeinde,
how about with the church?
Wir müssen fragen,
how about the church where you're at? Don't just say you're at the church. It's very easy to say that. But we have to ask, Lord, are we also a glorious church? Is the church in Vancouver glorious? That's a question. That's a question. Earlier on, we were very happy because we saw the vision of the church. Oh, we say, oh, the ground of the church. Hallelujah, we are the church. That was good for those days. But I have to say that today is not sufficient just to say that we are the church. In the book of Revelation, there are also seven churches, right? Seven churches. Are they the church, brothers? Are they not the church?
Doch.
Yes. God also recognized them as the church. God, the triune God, greeted them.
Sie waren alle Gemeinden.
They were all churches.
Aber waren sie alle herrliche Gemeinden?
But were they all glorious churches?
Die Gemeinde in Thyatira,
the church in Thyatira. Is that a glorious church? The church in Laodicea.
Was war die Gemeinde in Laodicea?
How was the church in Laodicea?
War sie eine Gemeinde? Jonah?
Are they a church?
Laodicea?
Jonah? the church in Laodicea, or were they a denomination or something, or some sect? No, they weren't a sect. They are the church in Laodicea, and the Lord did speak to them. But what was the condition of the church in Laodicea? Was it a glorious church? What kind of a church? A lukewarm church. And how was the church in Sardis? Was that a church? Are you sure? 100%? Would you recognize him as a church? You. The Lord recognized them that they were the church in Sardis. But were they a glorious church? No. What kind of a church? It was a dead church. Sometimes you won't recognize a church because they're dead. Or? What do you think, brother? For instance, let's the church in Stuttgart doesn't have life. Oh, it's a little bit. Oh, the church in Stuttgart. Dead. Would you still recognize them as the church? Yes. Do you think that the church wants to have a dead church? Timo, what do you think? No. The Lord doesn't want to have a dead church. Or a church that has lost its first love. Do you think that such a church is glorious? Or a church like Thyatira, where Jezebel was ruling. Do you think that was good? No, that's not good either. So the Lord wants to have a glorious church. Lord Jesus. We all need to keep this in our heart. Last year we saw this clearly. Right? And then in Ezekiel, we saw that the glory of the Lord left his house. In the end, it came to a point where nothing could be done. God could not do anything with his people, with his house, with the temple in Jerusalem. He couldn't do anything anymore. So what happened? He left the temple and he passed judgment. That was terrible. Everything was totally destroyed. It was truly not nice, but it was important. That was necessary. And that judgment came over his people.
Oh,
Lord Jesus, no one likes the judgment. Don't think that our God will not judge. God judges. When we read the church history, in the beginning it was very nice, but in the end, how was it? It became Babylon. It became a great church, like the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church. Do you think that is what God wants? No, God has left that long time ago. And surely when the time comes, God would destroy that. The book of Revelation shows us very clearly that the judgment will come. But with us, when should the judgment begin? Now. Because God loves His church. Really so. If the Lord wants to build His glorious church with us, then it's not through beautiful talking and wonderful conferences, but then He has to discipline us and judge us and do away with everything that does not please Him.
Der Herr möchte alles ans Licht stellen.
The Lord would put everything under the light and expose everything. We have also experienced that in the past 40 years, and we've also experienced that. Praise the Lord. And this glorious God is also a holy God. We definitely have to see this. A glorious church must be a holy church. And in this entire conference, when we see, look at the building of the temple, we see that God is a holy God. And this building that He wants to build is not only holy, but I would say this evening that it's super holy.
Heilig und heilig.
Holy and holy are not the same.
Gleich wie die Herrlichkeit. Was sagt die Bibel?
What about the holiness?
Eine Herrlichkeit.
The Bible says it's from
zu anderen.
About glory. What does the Bible say? It's from glory unto glory.
Also, auch die Heiligkeit ist eine. Es ist so.
And the same with the holiness of the Lord.
Heilig genug.
It's the same. Perhaps you're holy enough.
Nein, wir sind nicht heilig genug.
But then you realize, no, we're not holy enough. Then you realize that in this building, in Ezekiel, the emphasis is on the holiness. Because if the temple of the Lord is not holy, if it's unholy, then it's not possible for the glory of the Lord to enter in. God wants to dwell.
In seinem heiligen
Where?
Tempel.
In His holy temple.
Tut,
so everything that God does must be holy.
Ich hoffe, dass dieses Wort,
I hope that this word, the holiness,
in unser Herz hineingeschrieben
would be written into our hearts through the time of this conference.
Und daher sehen wir,
and that's
in Ezekiel,
and we also see
so
that in the book of Ezekiel there's so much judgment.
Besonders das Gericht.
Especially the judgment over God's people. Of course, there's also the judgment of the world. In any case, the world will be judged. But God has firstly to judge us. And after the judgment, we see, then God shows the building of His temple. Because God would never give up His plan. It was destroyed. He judged. He even had the temple totally destroyed. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and to destroy the temple, including the city. Everything was burnt up and destroyed. But God wants to rebuild. And so here in Ezekiel, we see a wonderful building. I believe many of us have not paid attention to this. Have you read Ezekiel? Especially beginning with chapter 40. Good. Do you appreciate this building? Do you treasure this building? Some theologians say that these few chapters are the most difficult chapters in the entire Bible to understand, and it's really so. I don't know why the Lord wrote these chapters in this way. Or he let Ezekiel write it in such a way. As if the Lord doesn't want us to understand it. George, you read it, right? Could you talk to us about this? It's not so simple. It's truly not so simple. Even when we're working through these verses, we really prayed a lot, considered a lot, I checked it, and we read it over and over again, and we compared with different translations to see whether we understood it properly. So we came out with a more or less improved translation. Hopefully it's understandable.
Ja, lass uns es lesen.
Yeah, let's read it together.
In Seite 9, Kapitel 40, 1
chapter 40, verses 1 to 4, we have the separate translation, yeah? Ezekiel chapters 40 to 42. Chapter 40, verse 1. That point in time was very important for Ezekiel because that's... That's a revelation. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it, toward the south, was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of shining brass. He had a line of flax and a measuring reed in his hand, and he stood in the gate. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears, and fix your heart on everything I show you. For you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see.
Amen.
Let's read verse 4 again. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears, and fix your heart on everything I show you. For you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see.
Amen.
Lord, we want to see with our eyes and hear with our ears. And we fix our hearts on everything that the Lord wants to show us. This goes to show how important this vision is, what the Lord wanted to show Ezekiel. The Lord showed it to him so that he could, in a very faithful way, speak it further to the house of Israel, or to declare it to the house of Israel. This is very, very important, brothers and sisters. Here you see that the building of the Lord is to be taken seriously. Everything that has to do with the building of the Lord has to come from Him. God does not want us to go according to our what we think is good and what we'd like to do, and that we decide ourselves how we should build. No, no, no. In the last days, we spoke much about the building of the Lord, beginning with Eve, that Eve was built, and exclusively through what? Through this Adam's rib. God does not want to use anything else in order to build Eve. Eve had to be 100% flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. So the building of the Lord is that exclusive. Then we also saw the building of Noah. And that was also built totally according to the instructions and specifications of the Lord. Noah had to use the materials that God told him to use, right? And the dimensions were also given to him by the Lord, and how it was to be built, how many floors, stories there were to be, how many windows, how wide, how high. God gave everything to Noah, and then how he was to patch and seal everything. It's so wonderful. Everything had to be right with gopher wood. He was not allowed to use any other kind of wood. And then we saw the building of the tabernacle. Moses had to see everything clearly and to receive all the instructions directly from the Lord Himself, and all the materials, all the vessels, and all the measurements. It was so difficult, but Moses had to be faithful to build according to that. And what happened with Solomon? Exactly the same. It was exactly the same. God showed David everything through the Holy Spirit, all the dimensions, how it was to be built, all the vessels, everything. How Solomon was to build the temple. God had already shown David all that. Can you imagine that? Solomon was not allowed to do something in any old way. That wouldn't work. That was a taboo. That he was not allowed to do so. So for the building of the church today, God truly needs faithful men. Faithful brothers and sisters, ones who are obedient to Him, not gifted people. Let me tell you, I've seen so many gifted people. They're too gifted, too wise. They did everything as they pleased. They were smarter than God. Now, in the Old Testament, here in Ezekiel, this is the last sign concerning the last indication concerning the building of the temple. Actually, this temple is a temple in the millennial kingdom. This temple is important for us today. Here in the Old Testament, this is the last temple where the Lord showed so clearly, and that has never been built. And Ezekiel was called by the Lord to see this vision after the judgment. The Lord showed Ezekiel this wonderful vision. Now let's come to the outline. We don't have to talk much about the point in time, although it's not without meaning, but it also goes to show how exact Ezekiel was. How exact Ezekiel was. If Ezekiel was not a man, such an exact person, he would say, oh, how many years after the captivity? 25 years. That's 25 years. Do you think that if you were in the captivity, in the 25th year, would you still be thinking, oh, it's the 25th year? If I were to ask you, how long have you been in Vancouver? You have to say, oh, oh, oh. Yeah, how long have you been in Vancouver, George?
12 years.
And today is which month and which day? He only knows the year. But he doesn't even know the month. And the day he doesn't know either. But Ezekiel knew exactly it was from the time of the captivity, but he also knew it was from the time when the temple was fully destroyed. It was 14 years. That means to say that this man had such a heart for the city of God. For him, the captivity was not a small thing. For him, the destruction of the temple was not a small thing. He loved the temple. He loved the city of God. He counted the year. He counted the days. For me, I moved to the USA. Oh, what year was that? For me, I don't really care because it's not so important for me. But in this time of the captivity, for Ezekiel, it wasn't without concern. Year for year, certainly, he asked the Lord, how long, Lord? How long are we going to stay in Babylon? But many already thought, oh, it's nice here in Babylon. We can stay here. But for Ezekiel, it wasn't the case. He waited and he asked the Lord, how long, Lord? How much longer? We've been here 25 years. And it was the tenth day of the first month. He knew exactly how many years, and it was the tenth day. And it was exactly the day of the Passover, where the Passover lamb was slain.
Right.
And he knew exactly that, 14 years ago, the temple and the city was totally destroyed. So, we have to know what kind of a man Ezekiel was. In his heart, was the building of God so important? How important is the building of the church in your heart? Sometimes if I ask, how long have you been in the church? You have to say, Marcus, we don't even know how long we've been in the church. Angelica, how long? You would say, too long, right? 35 years. My goodness. Didn't you tell the Lord, Lord, I've been here 35 years. How come the church is not so glorious? Or Lord, when are you coming? And after 35 years, we're still not done. How much longer do we need in order to build up the church? How long have you been in the church? 40 years. Then you have to tell the Lord, yes, 40 years long we were in the wilderness, and at the end of the 40 years they got into the good land. Now we've been in the church here for 40 years. Lord, how come you're not here yet? How much longer, Lord? How much longer? Or do we just want to go on in the church in such a routine way? If the church life is so fresh and so living in our heart, then we'll have to say, oh Lord, please make the church glorious. I'm convinced that if the church is so glorious, the bridegroom would come immediately and get married. Wouldn't that happen? Don't you think so? But if the church is still so old, she's so old and full of wrinkles, the Lord would say, not yet, not yet. I'd rather wait. The Lord wants to have a glorious church.
Verstehst du das?
Do you understand that?
Herr, baue
Lord, build your church.
So eine herrliche
build it to be a glorious
das
bride.
Muss brennen sein in unserem Herzen.
That has to be burning in our heart. That has to be our prayer.
Manchmal höre ich so
sometimes I hear so many complaints and murmuring and this and that. I'd like to tell you, your murmurings will not make the church any more glorious. You think that if every day I would be murmuring and complaining and criticizing and saying this is not right and that's not good and that's bad, do you think that would make the church glorious, Timo? So instead to criticize and to murmur and do this or that, it's better if you would go on your knees and ask the Lord, Lord, when would you make your church glorious? Didn't you say that you want to present to yourself a church that's glorious? Remind the Lord about it, brother. How often do you do that? How often have you told the Lord, Lord, I want to remind you about it. Every day, you see, we've been here in the church for so long. And you don't remind the Lord. He says, Lord, how come your church is still not so glorious? So if everybody who sits here is sitting here would stir the Lord up.
Ich möchte nicht das Wort lästigen sagen.
And bother, I wouldn't say bother the Lord, bother him, or storm him. Which word would you use? You don't give him any rest. And what else?
Bedrängen, bezwingen.
And you would press him and
klopfen.
And knock him.
Herr,
Lord, how much longer?
Erinnert ihr in
do you remember
that
in Revelation chapter 6, on the fifth seal, all the saints who are under the altar, they're waiting there. Were they just waiting there? Did they just sleep there or they played there? What did they do? They cried out day and night, say, Lord, how long? Have you cried out, George? How long would it take for you to build a glorious church in Vancouver? At least 120, like the day of Pentecost, they had a 120. And how come we just have 20? You have to tell the Lord, at least 120. Oh, Lord Jesus. But it seems to me, for many saints, that we don't care. So, if it's not like this, if it doesn't go on, well, it's okay, we're still the church. That's okay. We are the church. Are you the church? Amen. Are you a glorious church? I'm not joking here.
Was soll ich machen? Weinen?
What should I do? Weep?
Ich möchte lieber lachen.
I'd rather laugh.
Wir haben ein Lied damals, heißt
we had a hymn before that said, outwardly we're laughing, but inwardly we're weeping in our hearts. The Lord loves His church. He wants to build such a church. That's why He called Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, come, I'll show you something. Do not be so sad. Don't be so sad. Come, I'll bring you. I'll take you to a high mountain. Just like the same with John in the book of Revelation. He was also very sad when he saw the whole situation in those days. He said, my goodness, Lord, how is it possible? You are the Christ, and you want to build the church. I heard what you said. I will build my church. And yet it became such... Really? He was on the island of Patmos? And here, Ezekiel was in Babylon. The Lord brought him to a high mountain, just like in the same way he brought John to a high mountain. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, not just sometimes, but for us, at least, I have to say sometimes, we have to go to a high mountain and not just remain in the valley. You know, if you day by day and week by week you just serve in a routine way and you do something and you're busy with this and that and do, you lose the view. You lose the view. The Lord has to bring you to a high mountain and show you something more. We all have to see something more. Tell the Lord, Lord, give me a fresh and living vision. Not only did Ezekiel need it, but we all need such a vision in the church, especially the young people. We must have a new, at least, we need to see a fresh vision. We should not think that we have seen enough. No. No, no. No, I want to see more. Really so. I want to see great and mighty things that I have not known. Don't think that we have seen everything. If we have already seen everything, then the Lord would be here already. Right? So to go to this high mountain, it's very important. All those who want to see a vision must go to this mountain. So occasionally, Hans-Jürgen, you have to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't just want to be working down in the publisher's office. Lord, bring me up to a high mountain and show me the vision. Show me a fresh and living vision. Things that I have not seen yet.
Amen.
Amen.
Ja.
I appreciate it that you have so much to do in that room there, but occasionally, and oftentimes we need to go up to the high mountain. It's very important so that we would see something of the vision. Brothers and sisters, all of us need to have a desire to see more. The Lord has much more to show us. We have not seen it all yet. And it is also not possible to see it all. Even Paul said that. What did he say? We only see in part. Even Paul said that. Paul never said that he had seen everything, but he only saw things in part. Now, what did he see? First of all, he saw a man. We also need to see this man. It's always good to see this man. This man is the Lord himself. The Lord is this man. Whose appearance was like the appearance of shining brass. It's like brass, shining brass. We also saw in the book of Revelation that the Son of Man, in the midst of the golden lampstands, the one that was walking in the midst of the lampstands, he also had his feet were burning brass, like fine brass, refined in a furnace. He saw that. Praise the Lord. Why did he see something like that? Because the building of the Lord is a holy building. You should not forget. Before the Lord showed Ezekiel much, many things, he had passed judgment.
In the Bible, it zwar einige Bedeutungen, aber
brass has different meanings in the Bible, but here, the meaning of brass here is the judgment. That's the judgment.
Der Altar ist ein Altar, zwar aus dem
the
Holz,
altar is made of wood, but it's on top of it is brass.
Ist auch aus Erz gebaut.
And also the altar is also built of brass. The altar, to us the altar means judgment.
Und hier sehen wir einen Mensch,
here we see
Aussehen war wie glänzendes Erz.
A man whose appearance was like shining brass.
Aber einer, der richtet.
He's one who judges.
So ein Christus zu sehen.
Do you like to see such a Christ?
Was für ein Christus kennst du?
What kind of a Christ do you know?
Kein Mensch redet gerne vom Gericht.
No one likes to talk about judgment.
Also Liebe.
We always like to have a loving, patient, meek, friendly, and what else? Gracious and merciful Lord. We all like these words. These words. We like such words, but Ezekiel didn't such a God here. For the building, it is important for us to know such a Christ. This does not mean that the Lord is not full of love. This does not mean that the Lord is not gracious, or patient, or full of mercy. Or that he's so meek and gentle. No, the Lord is all this and much more. But for the building, can you imagine when we were building this hall in those days, we had an architect that's so meek and so patient, oh, this is okay, and that's okay, that doesn't matter, this is okay, that's all right, to, oh, you're tired, go to sleep. And if the wall looks like a snake, oh, it doesn't matter. Can you imagine if we had such such a loving Bauleiter, a master builder, this whole construction would be all crooked. But thank the Lord, we didn't have such a master builder here. We had a very strict one. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Really so, until this very day, I have really appreciated this very much. No, it's wrong over there. It doesn't work. Who built this wall over here? How come it's all crooked? Tear it down and make it new again. Make a new one. This is important. Otherwise, we would have a crooked hall. Hmm?
Für den Bau des Hauses Gottes.
For the building of the house of God, don't think, okay, we can do everything.
Ich meine nicht, dass wir keine Liebe haben.
Of course, we don't mean that we don't have any love. We have much love. And in those days, let me tell you, we had such a time. People sense the love. But love alone, this hall could not have been built. But of course, it's also with love.
Right.
But look at what God has done with his house. What God did to his house in the end. God judged it.
Der Halle tatsächlich so einen wunderbaren gerechten
For the building of his house, we have to see such a righteous Lord, one who judges, especially for the building.
Weil wir
Why?
Alle
Because we all
so vermessen ist.
Are so presumptuous.
Vermessen.
Dies presumptuous. This word is very proper today. We measure everything according to our own measurements, and we measure it wrongly. In German, the word presumption is that means it's mismeasured. It's mismeasured.
So is this.
That's presumption. We measured everything wrongly. Everyone according to his own measurements. You think that so short is okay? And he thinks, no. It has to be longer. Then Timo comes around and says, no, it's not long enough. And he, as a carpenter, says, this is too long. We have to shorten it. Everyone according to his own measurement. Do you think that we can finish the building? Alone with the decisions, we have 10 different opinions. So in the end, no one could make a decision because we had 10 good opinions.
Oh,
this hall would be so full.
Wer soll kommen?
Who should come?
Some would say,
all the old, very old ones shouldn't come anymore. Why not? And the others say, the ones with children shouldn't become. The other one would say, we need the children. Each one has his opinions. And in the end, what should we do? So everyone has his own measurements, and everyone measured differently or measured wrongly. You have your measurement, I have my measurement, he has his measurement. What should the Lord do?
Und dieser Mann hier,
and this man here,
er hat in seine Hand eine leinenen Schnur.
He had a line of flax
und eine Messrute
and a measuring reed in his hand. Praise the Lord. He had a measuring reed.
Eine leinenen Schnur wahrscheinlich des Messers.
A line of flax. Perhaps you measure smaller things with it, and you measure bigger things with a measuring reed. Right? We do the same. For small things, we have a small ruler or a small line and a measuring reed for longer things, right? The Lord has his standard here.
Was denkst du an leinenen Schnur?
What do you think of this line of flax?
Woran denkst du? Was hat die Braut
what
in Offenbarung,
brings
was hat sie an?
To your memory here? What does the bride in Revelation? He had a garment of fine white linen. What is this fine white linen? This is the righteousnesses of the saints. That means this line of flax is very righteous. It's very righteous.
Und es ist auch nicht wahr, ein Rohr, eine Rute hier.
And it's also a reed.
Es ist was Lebendiges.
It's something living.
Ja. Es ist lebendig.
He's living.
Es ist sehr gerecht.
And he's very righteous. Not according to your righteousness, but according to his righteousness.
Wie messen wir die Dinge?
How do we measure things?
Viele Dinge müssen wir in der Gemeinde machen.
We have to do many things in the church, but according to what standard are things done?
Nach deiner Gerechtigkeit.
According to your righteousness or according to the righteousness of the Lord? Did the Lord not say when you come into the good land, you should not do according to what you have been doing today, each one according to what is right in his own eyes, right? Each one has his own standard. You know, you use your eyes to measure, but your measurements are quite different than yours. I see things differently, right? You see things differently than what I see.
So when we in the church,
each one would like to do something the way he wants to do it, then we will have problems in the church. That's why we need this man here with the shining brass. In the building of the church, we always have to come to him and ask him, okay, Lord, how do you want to build? What should I do? We have to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to do something and decide according to my own opinion. I want to know what you want to do. What do you say? How do you measure? How do you see things? How long should it be?
Paul said
he doesn't want to be found in his own righteousness.
Paulus wurde sehr geschult nach dem Gesetz.
Paul was very well taught in concerning the law of the Old Testament. And he attempted to live according to that. But after he saw the Lord, he realized that, oh, this is a different measurement. A different standard. It's a much bigger, something much bigger. The Lord is much bigger and much more wonderful. He saw a different dimension. Then he said he did not want to be found in his own righteousness. Before that, he measured everything according to the law. But after he saw Christ, he learned everything according to be, he learned to measure everything according to Christ. Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, in whatever church, if you always measure according to your own concept, you will always bring unrest to the church, not just in your church. It would even cause unrest among the churches. One would say, you're not allowed to say that. And the other one would say, why? We have to say that. Alone that would cause problem. When we have different measurements, in the end we have problems with the Lord. We also have problems amongst ourselves. In the end, even among the brothers, and you say, oh, forget it, I don't want to talk to you anymore. That's how it is. Why not? Why not? If it doesn't go according to my measurements, then I have no joy in it, and I'm upset that I try to convince you. And if you don't accept it, then what? What then? Then we will have problems. But if we all
diesem wunderbaren
would go according to this wonderful man
glühenden, glänzenden Erz,
with a shining brass
leinenen Schnur,
and with this line of flax
mit der Rute,
and with this reed.
Dann lob den Herrn.
Then praise the Lord.
Geht es.
It works. I'd like to learn to come to Him in all things. But do you see Him or not? Whoever sees the building, if you see the building, you also have to see Him, because He is the master builder. If you don't see Him and you just want to build, then we have a problem. Then who is the master builder?
Dann lass uns den zweiten
now let's
Punkt hier sehen.
Come see the second point here.
2b.
Roman numeral 2b.
Das Haus muss gebaut werden mit der göttlichen Standard.
The house has to be built with a divine standard. There is just one divine standard. There is a divine
das
standard. We have to see that.
Die Gemeinde muss nach seinem Standard gebaut werden.
The church has to be built according to his standard.
Kapitel 40, es muss 3 bis 5 sein,
yeah? Let's read. It has to be verses, chapter 40, verses 3 through 5.
Besonders, lass uns Vers 5 lesen.
In particular, we should read verse 5.
Der Mann hat angefangen zu messen.
Because the man began to measure. Verse 5. And behold, there was a wall all around the outside of the house. In the man's hand was a measuring reed, 6 cubits long, each being a cubit and a handbreadth. Up until there. 6 cubits long, each being a cubit and a handbreadth. For the Lord, a cubit is not a cubit. For you, a cubit is just a cubit. For you, 1 meter is just 1 meter. But for the Lord, 1 meter does not equal to just 1 meter. For the Lord, 1 cubit it's always one hand breadth longer. You have to realize that. That means that his measurement is always longer than yours, no matter how long your cubit is. If you have your own cubit, his cubit is always one hand breadth longer. Of course, There is a measurement, a cubit. The cubit has a standard measurement. But the Lord's standard is somewhat different. His standard is different from our standard. We have to realize that. If we do not see this point, then we don't need to go through all these chapters because we'd be mismeasuring everything. Everything would be too short. If we do not see the standard of the Lord and you begin to build according to the common cubit, everything would be too short and won't fit. And the Lord would not accept it. The Lord would say, sorry, this is not according to my standard. We all need to have this consciousness. Oftentimes we think, oh, we're right. Perhaps according to your good thoughts you think, oh, you're right. But measured according to his standard is still too short. That's the problem with us. With our fallen human being. With our natural man. With that what I am, I'm just too short. We should not measure things in such a way in the house of the Lord. That's why it's said here that this man has a measuring reed in his hand
Handbreit länger als eine gewöhnliche.
Each being a cubit and a handbreadth.
Dieser Punkt ist sehr, sehr wichtig.
Praise the Lord. This point is very important.
Dieser Punkt ist sehr, sehr wichtig.
This point is very, very important.
Hier.
We have quite a few verses here.
Eingefügt. Offenbarung sehen wir.
In Revelation we see, in the book of Revelation we see,
21:15-17.
I believe it's good for the young people to read that.
Wir sehen im Buch der Offenbarung, der Herr misst auch diese wunderbare Stadt.
We see in the book of Revelation, the Lord also measures this wonderful city. Chapter 21, verse 15. Even the New Jerusalem would be measured. Don't think that that would not be measured. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city. Now here is a gold reed. It's a gold reed.
Diese Messstab.
That means that this reed
is not God's standard. It's aus Gold.
It's God's standard. It's of gold.
Ein goldenes Rohr.
The gold reed
und ihre Tore
to measure the city, its gates and its walls. You see, the Lord measures everything. He would be measuring everything. Believe me, he'll be measuring everything. And the city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. It's important for you to know this. Are you an angel? How come here it says, according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel? Are you an angel? Then is your measurement the same as that of an angel? Only in resurrection. That means to say, if we do not live in resurrection and we measure the whole thing, then you are too short. I cannot judge the whole thing in the church according to my natural human thinking. That is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. We have to measure everything. We have to measure everything according to the new man, not according to the old man. The new man will be brought forth in resurrection, and the Lord says in resurrection, the man is the same as an angel.
So, when I in the Gemeinde alles messen nach meinem natürlichen Sein,
that means in the church, if I would measure everything according to my natural being and not in the new man, and I'm not in this resurrection life, then I'm too short. I'm sorry, that's how it is. Therein is the problem everywhere. So in the end, everything we build is for nothing. Because it's not right. It's not according to the measurement of his golden reed. It's even fallen. And the problem is that in the end, death would come in. Death enters. Because my standard, according to my natural man, is fallen. It's not living. What the Lord measures is that which is living. In resurrection, there's no death. In his measurement, everything is in the resurrected life. Everything that is dead, everything that is of the flesh would not be measured. I believe I put a verse here. I can't quite remember. Perhaps it's Proverbs 16:25. Could someone please read it? Proverbs 16:25.
Gerade erscheint ein Weg, der einem Menschen.
There is a way that seems right to a man.
Ja, es scheint viele Wege uns gerade.
Many ways seem right to us, but its end is the way of death.
Wege des Todes. Das ist das Schlimme.
That's what's bad about it. If we measure everything according to your measurement and my standard, don't just think it's a bit too short. If it's just a bit too short, it's not too bad. We could change it and extend it. But the problem is, it's death. Everything that I do according to my standard, in the end it leads to death. It appears to be right to me. It seems to be straight according to my eyes. I think that it's good, let's do it. But in the end, the end result of what was done in the building of the Lord, it's way of death. That's terrible. Don't think that we can just do anything in the church. Look, how many things died. In the end, there's fighting, there's division, and death is there. And in the end, you even lose your vision of the church. In the end, you just throw everything away. In the end, you get upset and you don't agree with me. It says, oh, forget it. What's all this? Just goodbye. And you just threw everything away. See, death entered. And I lose the life. It's not worth it. We have to learn. Everything has to be measured according to his standard, not man's standard. I've seen so much of man's standards. And what happens in the end is death. No matter how beautiful it looks now, in the end you will see that it's death. And the Lord will not accept it anyway.
So, wir müssen diesen Mann sehen.
So we need to see this man. Before we see the building, it's important for us to see this man.
Herr,
Lord,
du bist der Baumeister.
You are the master builder. You're the master builder. You're the architect.
Alles wird nach deinem Maße.
Everything would be measured according to your standard.
Und lob den Herrn.
And praise the Lord. I hope that if we build something in the church that is not according to his standard, that the Lord would judge it right away. If the Lord loves us, if the Lord loves his church, I cannot imagine that the Lord would allow things to leave things as they are. The Lord would not let it stand. Because if the Lord would let it stand, in the end, death would come in and the whole building would be destroyed. That's why the Lord has to judge. And his judgment is indeed our salvation today. This is my experience. Every time when the Lord judges me, it serves my salvation. And I have to tell the Lord, Lord, thank you for your judgment. Lord, judge me. I'd rather be judged today. Tell the Lord, Lord, I need salvation.
So das Gericht ist für uns heute.
So the judgment is for us
eine Errettung.
For us today, the judgment is truly our salvation. And then this standard is in the Word of God. Whoever sees this man,
der muss auch das Maß kennen.
Must also know this standard and this measuring reed of the Lord. He measures everything according to His Word and according to His Spirit. On one hand, He gives us the Word, and the Word would judge you. When you read the Word as life and you touch the Lord, this Word would judge you. Why?
Weil unser Leben stimmt nicht in vielen Hinsichten.
Because our life is not proper in many aspects. So when I read the Word, oftentimes I would be judged by the Word in a good way, because the Word would shine and I would be exposed. And everything that is exposed will be judged.
Das Licht ist zugleich das Gericht.
The light is at the same time the judgment. So when I read the Word, oftentimes the Word would judge me. And it would tell me, you are not like this. You are too short in this matter. You are not right. You are unrighteous. Right? When you read the Word about humility, your pride would rise up. The Lord would judge your pride, or your ambition, or your covetousness, or your greed. Perhaps you would. The covetousness is idolatry. Do you read this? Often you read it and say, Amen. Oh, I did not do anything that's idolatrous. That means you did not get any light. But when you touch the Lord and you touch His Word, this is covetousness. It's idolatry. Then this Word will shine in your heart and you'll be expressed that you are covetous. Then you have to repent. Lord, I repent. Save me. Save me from this kind of covetousness, this greed. I do not want to be covetous. So many things, the Word of the Lord has such an effect, and it would also measure you.
Psalm 19.
Let me have a couple more minutes, because we have many other things to talk about with reference to this building. But this point has to be clear for us first. Psalm 19, because this talks about the presumption.
Psalm 19.
Psalm 19.
Psalm 19 ist ein Lieblingspsalm.
Psalm 19 is one of my favorite psalms. I love this psalm very much.
Steht hier das Gesetz des Herrn in Vers 8.
In verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right,
are
perfect. Don't add and don't take anything away. And rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
alle diese Gesetze, Why? Zeugnisse, Vorschriften, Gebote und das Wort des Herrn lesen.
And if, because if we read all the statutes and commandments of the Lord, where the fear of the Lord is clean. If we read these words, it produces a fear of the Lord in us. And this fear of the Lord would give us such a fear of the Lord in us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now comes the word judgments. Are you afraid of the judgment? Not? I hope so. I'm afraid of judgment.
Und dann sagt er, sie sind köstlich als Gold.
As more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
So, wenn wir schon von dem Maßstab des Herrn reden,
we talk about the standard of the Lord, then as young people you need to know. This standard is in the Word of God.
Und wir müssen alle lernen,
and we all have to learn
zu beten, lesen.
To pray, read the Word of God. Not just to read, but to pray and read. That means you read it with the Lord together and talk to Him about the Word.
Dann sagte er,
then he says,
und bewahre auch deinen Knecht,
and keep back your servants, 13, also from presumptuous sins. Here comes the word presumption. Everything that's not according to the Word of God, whatever is not made perfect by this Word, is so pure and so high, so heavenly, everything that has not been measured by the Word, and you measure it differently, then that's presumption. The Word of God says so, and you think it's something different, that is presumption. And you are presumptuous, and it is a sin. You see? Sin. You think, oh, I mismeasured. No, you have to say, Lord, I have sinned. What kind of a sin is that? It's a sin of presumption. That is a sin of disobedience. That means it's a sin of the flesh and of your own mind, going according to your own mind.
Eigensinnig.
If you're so obedient and you're not so thick-headed, do you think you'll be presumptuous?
Toby?
Let's say you're a very obedient brother. If you're God, do you think that God is presumptuous? No. The Lord did everything according to the Word of God. He was never presumptuous. But we say, oh, that's okay. Oh, that doesn't matter. Oh, let that be. This is good, and that's also okay. How long should we be? Oh, let whatever you think. We don't say, go ask the Lord. What does the Lord say about it? What does the Lord want? What does His Word say? And let's come to the Word again and research to see what the Lord says. Keep your servant also from presumptuous sins. So this word also has to be written into your hearts tonight. Please, do not mismeasure. Measure everything properly, according to His standard. Lord Jesus, then I shall be blameless And I shall be innocent of great transgression. And then he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. It can only be acceptable if it is according to his word, when everything is according to his standard, our speech, what is in our heart, everything is according to his standard, then it's good. Praise the Lord.
So, before we überhaupt in all these
So before we get into all these measurements, we have to know this, get to know this man. And we have to get to know his measuring reed. We have to see his measuring reed. We have to know his standard. And we have to learn not to be presumptuous. Everyone who builds and builds together should not be presumptuous. Praise the Lord. I hope that the Lord would give us grace in these days to see all these measurements that the Lord has shown us. We don't want to see anything else, but we want to see the spiritual principles so that we will be able to see how we can finish the building of this wonderful spiritual building. All the spiritual principles. This building is very, very important because this is the last building that was mentioned. And if the Lord would give us light, it's not that hard to understand. But we have to be patient and see it together and pray that the Lord would give us revelation. Praise the Lord. Amen.